The United States government is considering narrowing the definition of gender to one that is determined at birth and stays fixed, essentially erasing any inclusion of trans and gender diverse people. Meanwhile, a medical term adopted by those seeking to discredit people seeking treatment for gender dysphoria is doing the rounds. But how credible is the science behind it? Ada Chung is an endocrinologist whose research specialises in transgender health. Welcome to RN Drive.
Thank you, Patricia.
Firstly, let's talk about what's happening in the US, where the government is considering narrowing the definition of gender to one determined by biology. What's the medical definition of gender as it stands?
Gender is an individual's inner sense of whether they're male or female. So it's something that's innate. Most people know their gender from an early age, and not everybody's gender matches their biological sex that's assigned at birth.
The definition of gender was loosened under the Obama administration. So there has been, obviously, it's a very politically contentious description, isn't it, in terms of the stages it's gone through and the way it's been used in politics?
Well, I think gender traditionally has been regarded as the same thing as sex. But scientifically, as time goes on, the more we understand about gender, the more understanding there is that it is completely different to biological sex. So biological sex is something that's determined by your chromosomes and your reproductive organs, like whether you've got a uterus or testes. But whereas gender is an inner sense of one's state of being male or female or something in between. And we're beginning to understand that gender is very much a spectrum, just like all human traits and all human characteristics. Nothing is black and white. Everything is a spectrum, much like even like eye colour.
When did that change come about in the scientific community, the difference between gender and sex?
Well, I think it's been a number of decades now. There's, you know, the research in this field has been developing over a number of decades. We know that in the past, in the 60s, there were cases where people, say, for example, were born a male, but were born with a genital abnormality, so something wrong with their testicles, and doctors had tried to just change them into females, so surgically modify these individuals and just told their parents to raise them as females. And we know that, you know, there have been published reports that just changing someone's gender doesn't work, because gender is something that's innate and is something that people are generally have within them, that's something that can't be modified. And you can't just tell somebody, okay, you're going to be raised a female now, even though that you were born male. It's something that's innate, and we believe it's biologically based. And there's research over the last sort of 10 years or so that certain sex dimorphic areas of the brain of transgender women are more in keeping with cisgender women or women who aren't trans than they are of males. So, you know, there's definitely, you know, scientific evidence that points towards gender having a biological basis. And this is supported by all international hormone societies, sexual health societies, and transgender health societies.
What implications would changing the legal definition of gender to exclude trans people have on the health of transgender people?
I think that this is extremely detrimental. Trans people already face significant challenges, not only from health aspects, but from social aspects. And this sort of action, I don't think it's very well informed and would only significantly worsen the mental health of transgender individuals and really invalidate their existence, which is extremely disappointing.
In general, how should governments approach definitions of gender to ensure the least amount of harm is caused and discrimination is caused?
Well, I think there should be some consultation. So rather than a unilateral decision, most governments would generally consult with individuals, stakeholders that are affected by such a change. So not only the transgender individuals themselves, but also scientists who are doing the latest research on gender, medical professionals, health professionals, and various experts in this space.
How credible is the term rapid onset gender dysphoria? What does that mean?
There has been some media hype recently following the publication of an article in the PLOS One journal, and it's been extremely controversial. First of all, the term rapid onset gender dysphoria is a term that somebody came up with. It's not recognised by any medical professional societies or organisations, and it's something that this paper came up with. So a researcher surveyed a number of parents on an internet website. So this wasn't particularly rigorous science in any way. It was surveying people who were part of some anti-transgender blogs on various websites and surveying the parents about how they felt the symptoms of gender dysphoria were developing in their children. And I think that the problem with this study was that it surveyed the parents only who were part of this internet blog. It didn't survey the children. There was no clinical assessment of what was going on for these children. And you just can't interpret the findings of this paper that was published. In fact, the university where this researcher was based withdrew the paper from publication because of the methodological design issues associated with it and the hype and the sensationalism that's been associated with the publication of this. You know, what it is, I can't say what it is because there's no scientific basis. And I think whenever we have a child or an adolescent who is questioning their gender, they should be thoroughly assessed and their feelings should be validated.
Why has it taken off, do you think, like it has?
There are many people who are in the community who are anti-transgender, anti-LGBTIQ for various reasons, whether that be misunderstanding or strong beliefs, which may have a religious basis. And people will latch onto anything when they have strong beliefs. And I think people may not be aware of all of the scientific evidence behind what is transgender and gender dysphoria. People will latch onto anything. And if they feel that latching onto this piece of bad science can help support their argument, then that may be what is happening. But I think we just need to be aware that I'm not saying that it doesn't exist, but I'm just saying that we need to be mindful of how this study was done and we need to assess each individual on their own merit. Transgender people exist. Transgender people are real and it's something that is not a choice and trans people need support. And I think this has been taken a little bit out of context.
So the Royal Children's Hospital saw a 200% increase in children seeking treatment for gender dysphoria at their clinic. How do you account for this huge spike?
There is increasing numbers of people, not just children, seeking health services to help individuals transition to their affirmed gender. And we're seeing this trend worldwide. The thoughts are that it's not that it's an increase in incidence per se, but society's changing and there's more awareness about what transgender is and there's more awareness there in the media. Celebrities have come out. There's more understanding about health and what health options there are. We've got the internet. It's much more easy to get information these days in the last 10 years compared to it was, say, 30 years ago. So transgender people have existed throughout time. If you look back through history, there are trans people throughout history. People, and we believe that, you know, the scientific evidence suggests that somewhere between 0.3 to 1% of the community are gender variant. And so people are becoming aware that, you know, transition is an option to help some people relieve some of that significant distress they feel towards their body. And transitioning with hormones may help somebody align their physical characteristics with their inner gender identity. And the awareness that this is an option is leading some people to seek health services. Now, not everybody who's transgender undergoes, you know, medical treatment, but, you know, there's more information out there and there's more social acceptance and people are more willing to come out and ask for help.
Thank you so much for joining us.
That's a pleasure.
Ada Chung is a clinician and endocrinologist whose research specialises in transgender health. This is RN Drive.